My junior year of high school, my friend Pat called me up and he asked me, Jamie, would you like to go to the Bruce Springsteen concert? I have an extra ticket. And I was quite excited, you know. I didn't know Bruce Springsteen all that well, but I knew him enough in the car with him. He played him all the time. And so I was excited to go and to go in his company. And we went to the Bruce Springsteen concert. And we went down to Riverfront Coliseum there in Cincinnati on the riverfront. And back then, you guys remember the Cincinnati Stingers? How many remember the Cincinnati Stingers, the old hockey team? And well, they called the Riverfront Coliseum at that time the Beehive. And so we went to the Beehive for the concert. And I have to admit, I had a great time. I was speechless the whole time. I mean, I worshiped rock and roll for 3.5 hours. There I was, and I did not want it to end. I remember I was one of the ones screaming, pining out, Bruce, Bruce, come out, you know. I mean, I didn't want it to end, and I was so kind of disappointed. I thought, I didn't realize that 3.5 hours for a rock and roll show was pretty darn good. And there it was, and I had a great, I didn't want it to end. Now, all of us in our lifetimes, in our lives, so maybe we haven't experienced it. Most of us have, I'm sure. Not in this kind of minimal way that I have. We don't want something to end, you know? Maybe it's a moment with a special someone. We have many engaged couples here today. You know, those special times where you just don't want to let that other person go. You want the day to last forever. You know, maybe it's just time with your family or vacation you don't want to end. You don't want it to end. You know, we see in the gospel, the disciples, Peter, James, and John, they're up on that mountain where the transfiguration, where Jesus becomes glorified, which is a prophetic, very prophetic, because Jesus is called to be glorified in heaven, right? That's where we're called to meet him once again. And so at this time, Jesus is glorified, very prophetic. He becomes glorified. And they don't want to leave. They want to pitch tents. They want to stay there. They want to stay and be with the Lord. They don't want to leave. You know, we often hear stories about, you know, where people were awakened and changed as Peter, James, and John came to be changed as they came to know that Jesus was the beloved Son and they're called to listen to him and follow him, and they were changed. You know, oftentimes people have an awakening as they woke and found out the truth. People have awakenings in their lives. Sometimes some of the awakenings are more extreme, like near-death experiences. You know, most of them are not like that. Most of the time, people are just hit like a brick and say, like, I gotta change. I gotta change. But sometimes people have near-death experiences. These are not often, but I can remember, I've heard many stories from prisoners telling me of their near-death experiences. I can remember one. She was telling me that she was on the hospital bed, and the family had called me in and said, Father, it looks bad. Her death is imminent. She's on the respirator. We need to pray. I need you to anoint your mother. I was on my way anyway, and I made my way up there. And, you know, as I came to this woman, as I came to her, she acknowledged me. And she said, she hasn't done that in 3 days. She acknowledged, she could tell. She started nodding her head. She hadn't moved in 3 days. And then we did the prayers of the Holy Anointing. 1 week later, I was called back to that hospital where that woman was alive and well, sitting up. And she said to me, she said, Father, I saw a vision when you came in that room, and nobody realized that I knew and I was alert. And I had a vision. I had a vision of heaven, and I was there. But there you were in a cloud pulling me back. I'm thinking, was that heaven or hell? But then she had this incredible witness of being in heaven in this place of peace and tranquility and being pulled back to continue on in this life. Indeed, it had awoken her and reinvigorated her to live out her life in Jesus Christ and live out her life with her family and her friends in this world. You know, oftentimes we can have experiences in our lives, awakenings. And the fact of the matter is, we have these great experiences in our lives, and we can hold them tight to us. But we know they end, they fade. And we must press on and live out our lives. And God calls us that we indeed, the way in which we live our lives is carrying the cross. Indeed, that's how we transform our lives most importantly. We have these great experiences, right? But we must press on. We must move down from the mountain into Jerusalem. That is what Elijah and Moses are calling Jesus to do, to move down into Jerusalem, which is to accept the cross, to bring salvation to the world. Indeed, that's what we're called to do in our lives. We have experiences of Jesus Christ. We have an experience right here where Jesus comes to us. And what does God call for us to do? He calls us to take up our cross and follow him, to go into Jerusalem, to be willing to die to self. You know, oftentimes people ask me, they notice that I'm wearing black and said, "Father, wearing black in the summer is a very bad idea." And I agree, it's awful. And in wearing that, it's an opportunity to tell you, you know why I wear black? Because it's the color of death. Now, it's not that I'm trying to be morbid or anything, but it's a calling for me to die to self. And it's calling for all of us. You know, we're called to die to self, to die to our wills, and to live out God's will in our lives. And that's what our Lenten observance is called, that prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. It all leads us to dying to self so Christ can indeed live, that Christ can be transformed in our world through us. May we do that today. May we do that always. Amen.